Living the new evangelization means that the church is to grow. The church grows. That's why we say that the church, it's missionary in its nature, its essence. So it is to grow. It's to go to all ends of the earth. So how does the church grow? Pope Francis says the church grows by attraction and not by imposition. So what do we mean by imposition? Imposition is any kind of coercion to force one to be a member of the church. So proselytizing, right? Motivating out of complete, threat. These are forms of imposition. Or I'm going to legislate your belief that you and require it from you. And the reason that it doesn't grow that way, that the church doesn't grow in this way, the way through imposition, is because faith is ultimately a free act. And so if I impose it and force it on you, you're not freely choosing and responding. So the church grows by attraction. Now, does that mean that the attraction is always something positive? So we can talk about like the good, the true, and the beautiful. We're all attracted to those transcendentals, what is good, what is true, what is beautiful in this world. And yes, the church uses these kind of approaches with people to grow the church. You know, that the church is good, is true, is beautiful. But that doesn't mean that there's an exclusion of negative types of motivation. And I'm not using negative in a pejorative sense. Negative in the sense of that there's causal consequences to our decisions. So think about this. Because someone who has went through a addiction process, so they're a recovering addict. At what point do these people often decide to make the change in their lives? When they've hit rock bottom, right? And so they've so experienced the negative consequences and effects of their decision that they can't take it anymore. And it's to the point where I'm going to die. You know, if I don't change, I'm going to die. And I'd rather live. So I'm ready now to make that kind of sacrifice. So negative consequences, whether we're experiencing them presently or currently, or they're imagined and anticipated, can be a motivation for change. And when we're talking about change in the church, the word for change in the church is conversion. That's the word. So when you hear the word conversion, and St. John Paul II says that our life is one of continuous conversion, it won't be complete until we're dead, that's what change is when it comes to the spiritual life. And so in the gospel today, we have a very vivid image of here's the rich man dressed, in beautiful robes and cloth, eating sumptuously each day, right? And here's Lazarus, who's on the ground at the step of his door, and in a wretched state, you might say, dogs licking his sores. And dogs back then, in the time of Jesus, were not affectionate animals. It wasn't affectionate licking. Dogs were disgusting and ferocious animals. So it'd be more like a skunk was hanging around, right? Lazarus and licking his sores. So he was, and the idea is here, he was in a totally degraded state. And, they die. And what happens? Well, we know that the rich man finds himself in hell, and Lazarus is in heaven with Abraham. And the rich man begs Abraham, just dip your finger in water and place it on my tongue, because I'm in this place of torment and flames, and just give me a little bit of comfort. So what do we have here? What is Jesus trying to get across? What's the message? It's not to force us to change the way that we live, but it's to invite us to reflect deeply upon that our decisions and our actions have consequences when it comes to the spiritual life and to our ultimate future. So, I was thinking about like the best way to contextualize and put this gospel together for the homily. And so I knew I wanted to talk about heaven and hell, and how, the rich man, he's actually experiencing the torment of hell. And the imagery is incredibly vivid in this gospel, right? But I was like, what theme? How do we talk about this? So what I did on Friday, I didn't have a clear idea of, like, you know, what was going to be my focus of the homily. So I went to the first graders because they always have the answer. And I was not disappointed. So I went to the first grade room and visiting the classrooms on Friday. And so we were talking about, you know, where Lazarus was, where the rich man was. I didn't, you know, elaborate on the flames of the hell. I said, he was not in a very happy or pleasant place, right? No, he wasn't. And why was he there? And so one little kid raised his hand and said, because he didn't share what he had. I was like, bingo. He did not share what he had. And you think about how we embrace stewardship as a way of life. What's the key verb in the word, in the definition of stewardship? The sharing of what we have received in love of God and neighbor. It all hinges on that verb, our stewardship way of life. And why did this man go to hell? As the first grader said, because he did not live stewardship. He did not share what he had been given. Powerful, powerful message connecting to our whole way of life. And here's the thing. When we go to confession, almost always we're thinking about sins that we've committed. Okay? I have disobeyed my mother and father, right? I have said bad words. Father, quit confessing your sins. No. But they're all related, almost always confessions are related to sins of commission. Why did this man go to hell? Why did this rich man go to hell? I had the kids act it out in class, and as they were doing that, the kid who was acting as the rich man and the one Lazarus, all he did was this. The little boy just walked past Lazarus. He didn't do anything negative or mean to him, didn't say anything to him. So there was no act of violence. He just simply ignored him and walked past. Omission. Sins of omission. Bear with me here. I want to read a few lines from Pope Francis's bull to establish this year as the year of mercy. So a papal bull is a legislative document. And he talks about what's involved with living the year of mercy. And he connects it with the corporal and spiritual works of mercy. And really, what that's all about is areas where we often omit living our gospel and stewardship call. It could be a good examination of conscience in regards to sins of omission. So he says this, it is my burning desire that during this Jubilee, the Christian people may reflect on the corporal and spiritual works of mercy. It will be a way to reawaken our conscience, too often grown dull in the face of poverty. And let us enter more deeply into the heart of the gospel, where the poor have a special experience of God's mercy. Jesus introduces us to these works of mercy in his preaching so that we can know whether or not we are living as disciples. This depends upon whether we're disciples or not. Let us rediscover these corporal works of mercy to feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, clothe the naked, welcome the stranger, heal the sick, visit the imprisoned, and bury the dead. And let us not forget the spiritual works of mercy, to counsel the doubtful, to instruct the ignorant, admonish sinners, comfort the afflicted, forgive offenses, bear patiently those who do us ill, and pray for the living and the dead. How important is this message? How important is this work? As we hear in the Gospels, it is eternally important. And what does our Holy Father say? It's his burning desire that we reflect on these corporal and spiritual works of mercy.